Does fertilizer go bad? You know, I have to admit, I'd never even thought about it until a press release arrived in my email box recently. I'm Jill Nadeau in for Larry today on The Larry Mueller Show. We have the author of that press release with us today. Her name is Valerie Smith, and she is a content strategist for Sod Solutions. And we'll ask her about fertilizer shelf life, find out how to store it, and how to know when it's time to get rid of it. What questions do you have about fertilizer? Or give us a call, 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. Valerie, thank you so much for being with us today.
Absolutely. Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. Allergies, but I hear you have the same problem.
Yeah, absolutely. It's that time of year.
It certainly is. Allergies and fuzzy hair, but we'll get through it. So you're down in South Carolina, but when it comes to fertilizer, does it really matter where you are?
No, it doesn't really matter. Sometimes the seasonality will matter in terms of if the grass is dormant during the winter versus in the summer, but that's more about the grass or your plants that are growing in that region in general. But no, the fertilizer isn't going to matter from location to location.
Okay, wanted to get that set first. So what are the different types of fertilizer, and do they have different shelf lives?
Yeah, so there's a bunch of different types, and they're all different brands, so shelf lives can vary, but there's definitely organic fertilizers. They're synthetic, they can be liquid, they can be granular. Sometimes you can get a weed and feed product that's going to have an herbicide and a fertilizer in it. And these products will differ with shelf life depending on the brand or depending on that type of fertilizer. So for example, organic, that's going to have a shorter shelf life than synthetic might. And it can start, once it starts to go bad, it can emit a foul odor or show signs of mold growth, that sort of thing. Whereas with these other fertilizers, whether they're liquid or granular synthetics, they're going to last a little bit longer, sometimes depending on the brand, 5 to 10 years.
Okay. Now, how can you tell if the fertilizer that you are buying is fresh?
So sometimes you can look at it and see if there's going to be an expiration date. Again, that's going to depend on the brand. However, some other things that you can do is, for the most part, if the fertilizer is going to be carried in the store, it's pretty much going to be fresh.
Although I've noticed it's in some garden supply shops that the dust on some of those things gets a little thick. So that's probably a good clue.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure.
Now, what is it that affects fertilizer longevity?
There's a couple of different things that can affect it. There's definitely your moisture and your humidity, and that can affect both granular and liquid. There's temperature extremes, whether that's hot or cold, and that's going to mainly affect your liquid. It can affect your granular, but mostly that's going to affect your liquid. And then the way that you store it. So when you're storing your fertilizer, you definitely want to keep it in a cool, dry place that's off the ground. And I say off the ground because you're going to want to keep things from like happening in terms of flooding or something else spilling. There could be pests. So that's kind of why I say off the ground. You want to keep it away from direct sunlight. And that's kind of going back to that temperature extreme. Away from extreme temperature fluctuations. So heat can actually break down nutrients, and freezing temperatures can cause the separation or like crystallization of nutrients and liquid fertilizers. As well as keep it in a garage or shed. If you don't have a garage or shed, I would recommend using a closet or some sort of utility room, a weatherproof bin on patios or decks or even basements if they're going to stay dry. So airtight containers made for moisture and making sure that those containers are tightly sealed.
Now, up here in Wisconsin, of course, we have very cold winters. Is it okay to leave that fertilizer out in the shed when it's going to freeze?
If the shed is going to be temperature, if it's prepared for temperatures like that, yes. If not, then I would consider bringing it into your garage or some other basically just place that's going to keep moisture, freezing temperatures at bay, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. So for us, a lot of us have basements, so that probably would be a good place for it, although it could be damp. So.
If it's going to be damp in your basement, I wouldn't recommend it. Or I would put that in a weatherproof bin of some sort,
sure,
or some sort of sealed container within your basement.
Now, should you be concerned about maybe the safety of fertilizer that's old?
In terms of like hurting your plants or?
Well, yeah, that. And also, I mean, can it start bubbling and cause problems that way?
I get what you're asking.
Yeah.
So not really. I mean, you don't want to necessarily pour any sort of fertilizer down a drain or anything of that nature, because it's going to contaminate waterways and the environment. But it's not, I don't think it's going to do any of that sort of thing where it's bubbling or causing too much harm. I mean, you obviously don't want to like ingest it or anything of that nature.
Whether it's old or not, don't
ingest. Right, whether it's old or not. But your organic fertilizers can actually cause more problems, whereas your liquid and granular synthetic fertilizers are just going to be ineffective in terms of how they affect your plants. So an organic fertilizer is going to eventually over time show signs of mold growth or even bacteria. And that, once you apply it on your plants, spreads into your plants and could possibly damage them, whether that's like your garden or your grass. Mm-hmm. Whereas with your synthetic or granular fertilizer, it's basically just not going to be as effective. If there's too much nitrogen in a liquid fertilizer and it separates from the rest of the liquid in that fertilizer, you could potentially have a nitrogen burn on like your lawn or your plants. But for the most part, no, that's not going to cause too much damage.
Now, we've been talking about these different types of fertilizer. Why don't you go through them again and kind of explain a little bit about how you can tell what you have, and are they used for different things?
Yeah, that's a great question. So granular is typically traditionally known for a longer shelf life. However, liquid fertilizers, there are plenty of liquid fertilizers out there on the market that will last just as long. And most of the time people will say, you might hear on or even read online that granular fertilizers will have it's basically what you call a controlled release of nitrogen, basically. But liquid fertilizers can do this as well now. So honestly, it just depends on what you prefer. A liquid fertilizer is really awesome because it's light. We have our own liquid fertilizer called Lawnify, and it actually connects to your hose end. So it's lighter to carry. It's easier to use. Whereas with a granular fertilizer, it's going to be heavier to lift. You have to use a spreader, and spreader settings, I don't know about you, but for me, it can be super confusing.
Yeah.
And when you have a homeowner who is just, you know, aren't super lawn savvy, they don't really know what they're doing. They just know that they need to apply a fertilizer. You know, that it becomes more complicated. Whereas if you have a liquid that you can hook up and with an even distribution, then you, there's less room for mistake, basically. And when you're spraying, like Lawnify, for example, Lawnify comes with enough nutrients to cover 5,000 square feet. And a lot of your liquid fertilizers that are around that same size are going to cover an area like that. Whereas with granular, there could be a variation of different coverages that you could put on like your lawn or your garden. But again, you're dealing with spreader settings. You're dealing with how much you have to pour in. So it gets a little bit more complicated. That's not to say granular fertilizers are necessarily bad or anything, but your liquid is typically easier to handle. And that can be organic or synthetic. So your organic fertilizers can also be granular or liquid as well.
So that makes it even more complicated.
Right.
So what is considered organic?
Organic could be your compost. It could be manure. Different things like that. That's just not going to be a synthetic chemical that you're using.
And with those, you said basically kind of use your nose and your eyes. If it looks bad,
yes,
it probably is.
Yeah, you'll definitely know. It'll emit a foul odor or even show signs of mold growth. Once you start smelling that or seeing that, that is a very clear sign that you need to go ahead and get rid of it. And sometimes, again, depending on the brand, there will be expiration dates. Your organic is not going to last as long as your synthetic, but your organic might be more for the people who are trying to be super eco-conscious. But again, if you buy the right synthetics, you're also doing pretty well, because there's synthetic fertilizers out there that use the exact right amount of nutrients that aren't going to leach into your waterways. Their liquid fertilizers, for example, are going to have a way for nutrients to be a little bit more absorbed faster and more efficiently, especially like with Lawnify, we use catalyst technology. And what that does is it nanosizes nutrients so that those nutrients are absorbed really fast into the plant. They're not just sitting in your soil. It's quick and they're more effective.
And we don't have to worry about rainwater carrying it off somewhere where it won't it's not supposed to be.
Correct, yes.
We're talking about fertilizer with Valerie Smith. She is a content strategist for Sod Solution. What questions do you have about fertilizer, maybe even lawns? Give us a call, 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is Garden Talk on the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. Join us again on Monday at 11. We'll be taking a look at the advances of non-medical X-ray technology. Amazing what's being done. And then, of course, the weather guys are going to stop by, which is always fun. Fun conversation. Right now, we're talking about fertilizer. If you have a question, give us a call, 800-642-1234. You can always send an email. That's talk@wpr.org. So you were talking about how to store fertilizer, and you're basically saying it should be someplace that's a little bit stable temperature-wise, away from moisture. Anything else that we should be thinking about?
In terms of storage, I think that pretty much like really sums it up, but there are some other things that you can do to be proactive with this, and that includes labeling your bags or your bottles with a date of purchase if there's not an expiration date that's going to be on your product. So that's definitely one thing you can do, is actually like write the date on the package, whether that's granular, liquid, organic, synthetic, it doesn't matter. That way you kind of know how long this fertilizer has been sitting in your storage. You can also check the packaging. You mentioned earlier something about telling how old a fertilizer might be when it's sitting in the store. Mm-hmm. Check the packaging to make sure that it's actually intact before buying. Because like you're saying, if you're looking at a bottle of fertilizer and you're seeing dust, maybe try to see as best as you can what the seal looks like on the liquid fertilizer. Or if you're looking at a granular bag, are there holes in it? Does it look like it's been torn or ripped? So that's also something that you can look at. Another great tip is not to overbuy your fertilizer. And that's kind of what I was saying a little bit earlier about Lawnify and just liquid fertilizers in general, is that you get only what you need. Sometimes those liquid fertilizers will cover something like 5,000 square feet, whereas granular might be much more, or you might overapply, you might underapply, you might burn through all of the granular, and you have more chances for mistake with a granular fertilizer. Checking the expiration dates and periodically shaking or stirring the fertilizer. So if you know that you're going to have that fertilizer sitting in your garage or shed for a while, you can take a liquid fertilizer and shake it every few months just to make sure that it's staying mixed pretty well. Same with your granular. You can go in and stir it and make sure it's not clumping. And if you have a liquid fertilizer, try to keep the bottles upright as much as possible.
Oh, yeah. You don't need liquid leaking for sure. So what if we've, you know, gotten our fertilizer down off of our shelf, we've used it already, and then we realize that it had been expired? Should we refertilize? Should we just wait and see? What would be your suggestion?
I think that's a great question. It honestly depends on what the state of the fertilizer looked like. So for a granular fertilizer, you can tell typically if it's going bad because it's going to start clumping or hardening. If you take those clumps and like actually drop them in a bucket of water and they dissolve, it's still good. So if you're going and applying a granular fertilizer and those clumps are just not breaking up, you're going to run into struggles applying it to begin with. And that should pretty much hint off like, hey, this fertilizer might not be good anymore. With a liquid fertilizer, you might have that what's basically called where the fertilizer will break up. You'll have it'll separate the nutrients and the other liquid in the fertilizer and sediment over time. You can try shaking it, and if it mixes very well, it's still good. However, if not, that then it's pretty much bad. So to answer your question, when someone actually applies it anyway, this has been applied and it's already bad, I would suggest holding off before fertilizing again and seeing how your grass or your plants respond. Because if there's going to be some sort of burn of some sorts, like there's too much nitrogen or there's too many chemicals that didn't mix properly, and it burns like your lawn, for example, you're not going to want to apply more fertilizer. So I would wait a couple of weeks before applying anything again.
Okay, that makes sense. Now we do find out we've got bad fertilizer. Like you said, don't throw it down your drain. What is the appropriate way to get rid of that fertilizer?
So this will depend on the type of fertilizer. You have your synthetic and then you have your organic. Your organic fertilizer might be compostable. But if not, I would recommend throwing it away in the trash and double bagging just in case for leakage. Leakage. So the label will say most of the time on an organic fertilizer if it can be compostable. And that's also going to depend on your local guidelines and where you live. And that changes by wherever you're located. No, you don't want to pour any sort of liquid down the drain. Like we said earlier, that's going to contaminate waterways in the environment. Or you can call your local waste management agency. Sometimes they'll accept the materials or sometimes they'll give you more details about what you can do with it in your area.
That's great advice. They're always helpful when you have a question like that. So now you're talking about when you buy fertilizers, there's usually a set of three numbers on the fertilizer.
Yes.
Explain what those are.
Yes, so those are your NPK ratios, and that stands for nitrogen, potassium, and nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, basically from like your periodic table, right?
Right.
so that's what's called your NPK ratio. Your nitrogen is what's going to help your grass grow and turn green. Your phosphorus is going to help with several things, but primarily like root development, and that's your middle number. And then your potassium, that last number on there, is going to help with a bunch of different things, including stress and being able to stand up to different, you know, disease. It could help with a bunch of different things. So those are your three primary like macronutrients, and that's what those numbers stand for. However, if you're looking at the label, sometimes you'll see those three numbers on the front, like right front and center of a package. However, sometimes you can also just go to the back and see all the exact like nutrients that are going to be located in this fertilizer contained in this fertilizer. So you can see the micronutrients under there. Sometimes you'll see like iron, manganese, and then a bunch of different things.
So how do you figure out what you need for your lawn or for your garden?
Sure. The best thing I would suggest is a soil test. And you can do that. You can either order one online or go to a store and pick one up, or you can do that through your local extension service at your university. I would highly recommend doing that because that keeps you from applying nutrients your lawn doesn't need and potentially just letting those nutrients sit in the soil because it's not being absorbed. You could also, with the soil test, you're going to be able to see what nutrients your lawn is either or garden lacking or needing more of versus has plenty of. That way you're not wasting your time and money on fertilizers that aren't going to do anything.
Yes, great advice on that. Now, you work for Sod Solutions. And like I said, you're down in South Carolina, but you have products and stuff that you probably send all over the country.
Yeah, absolutely. We have our e-commerce division, and that's where we're basically selling to the consumer or the homeowner. And that's what Lawnify really is for. But we also have grass plugs, which is a great way to either start a new lawn or you could fill in bare or damaged spots without having to like completely resod, for example. We sell turf grass as well and certain control chemicals.
So you're talking about plugs like hair plugs, right? So you can fill in those bare spots.
Yeah, like grass plug. Yes. Yeah. Basically the same sort of idea. Yeah. Yeah. So if you have a part of your lawn that is just not performing well, either disease killed it, the disease is gone, you've treated the disease, or insects have damaged a certain spot, or a certain grass is just not growing well in those areas, you can grab grass plugs and fill in those spots. But we also have a turf grass licensing division to our company. And that's primarily what SOD Solutions as a whole is known for, where we'll partner with universities and grow improved varieties of turf grasses. And then our growers or farms will then grow the turf grass and we license that out.
And you have your own grass seed brands, right?
Yes, we have Lawnify Bermuda Grass, Lawnify Santee Centipede, and Lawnify Paspalum. Correct. Yeah.
So how do you
those go? Warm season grass seeds. So I don't know how
they're probably not going to work up here yeah. for us. But how do you go about creating a new seed?
Creating a new seed. I don't know that we really create the new.
Blend. I mean.
So we have, what we do is we have our vegetatively grown grasses that will then grow the seed, and we'll use that seed to put into a container.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, I think we understand what you're saying. What else? I was looking at your website, and you've got some really good information about growing grass. Tell us about some of that.
So yeah, we have a consumer-facing blog called SOD University. We also have a newsletter that goes out weekly that's free to basically anybody. And it's about lawn care. It could be about, we have different categories on that blog. There's lawn nutrition, there's pests, there's disease. There's information about new lawns versus fixing problems with old or a lawn that's currently established. There's information about like mowing and technology. A bunch of different things in the blog.
Yeah, there's a lot, like you say, how to lay it and all kinds of things like that. Weed control. We just had a question earlier about weed control. What is your suggestions for keeping lawns weed free?
I would definitely start with your cultural practices. And what that means is using fertilizer so that your lawn is dense and thick and chokes out weeds, because weeds, just like your grass or even in your garden, are going to need oxygen, water, and sunlight. So when you have a really healthy lawn, it's going to choke weeds out because and outcompete them. So if your lawn is stressed from things like disease or pests, weeds are more likely to pop up because it's not growing as well. So definitely take a practice where you're fertilizing, you're mowing properly, you're watering properly, and just taking good care of your lawn. However, there also is a pre-emergent, which will prevent weeds, and then there's post-emergence that will treat currently existing weeds. And those are both weed control products or herbicides. I would suggest doing a pre-emergent because you're spending less, and that's preventing weeds before they even show up. But there's also post-emergence available that you can apply to control currently existing weeds.
So how did you get involved in the job that you do? What's your background?
That's a great question. I sort of fell into it, to be honest. I graduated from Clemson University, and my degree was in communications. So I knew I wanted to get into marketing and content strategy, and I started doing content strategy here, and I sort of fell in love with it. You kind of think turf grass and like what's so cool about turf grass, but there's also nature and biology and the environment, which is a really cool aspect of it that I really enjoy learning more about and even writing about. Because to be a content strategist, you really have to learn the content or the information of not just the industry, but the products and everything that you're selling, everything that you want to teach consumers about, the questions that they have. You have to have documentation or even customer support tickets to answer with documentation for that. And so originally I fell in love with content strategy and just communications, UX, that sort of thing. And then once I started learning more and more about turf grass, the environment, your lawn, that sort of thing, I fell in love with that as well.
I love that. That's great. It's nice to have to talk to someone who has passion for what they do. One thing I wanted to ask, how long do you usually suggest a grass be cut? How tall should the grass be?
So that's going to depend on your variety. And I think for you guys, you mostly have like a cool season grass. So you're going to have your bluegrass or your fescue.
Yes.
And I would say anywhere between 2 to 3.5, maybe even 2.5 to 3.5 inches. You never want to remove more than a third of the leaf blade at a time during one mowing. But I would say that that's the ideal height. So, and in the summer, I would actually keep the grass a little bit taller because that's going to help with your roots growing deeper into the soil to help with heat.
Wonderful. Well, that is such great information. And Valerie, we really appreciate you taking some of your time to be with us. And again, she's with Sod Solutions. So you can just go to sodsolutions.com and find a lot of really great information. Thank you. Thanks for joining us today. And we want to thank our whole team, Clara Neipert, Joel Patenaud, Lee Rayburn, Jeff Robbins, and of course, Larry Mueller. I'm Jill Nadeau. Thanks for being with us. And we will be back next week.